Hello and welcome to New York Public Health Now podcast. This is where we talk about the why so you can decide what to do. Hello, I'm Dr. Jim McDonald, Commissioner of the New York State Department of Health, coming to you again from the 14th floor of Corning Tower overlooking Empire State Plaza here in downtown Albany. Our guest today is Dr. Shauna Escobar. Dr. Escobar is the Title 10 Medical Director for New York State and also the Associate Medical Director for the Division of Family Health at the New York State Department of Health. Before we welcome Dr. Escobar, I'd like to introduce my co-host, Joanne Morn, Executive Deputy Commissioner. Joanne, how are you today?
I am doing well. Thank you so much, Dr. McDonald. It's a pleasure to be here with you and with Dr. Escobar. Welcome to talk about the New York State Contraception Standing Order, which you and Governor Hochul signed on March 19th, authorizing pharmacists to dispense hormonal contraception without a prescription.
Yeah, one of the nice things about the podcast is we can actually dive into issues like this a little bit deeper and just kind of understand and explain all the nooks and crannies about not only what a standing order is, but what this standing order actually refers to. So it's great to have Dr. Escobar, who's a family medicine physician by training, but also Dr. Escobar did additional training in maternal child health and global health. And Dr. Escobar joined us here at the Department of Health last year, bringing her rich clinical expertise to benefit the programs in the Division of Family Health that support New Yorkers across their lives from pregnancy, adolescent, and into the reproductive years.
Dr. Escobar has a master's in public health from Columbia and an executive master's in healthcare leadership from Brown. Before transitioning to public health, Dr. Escobar practiced at a residency program where she mentored and taught the next generation of family medical physicians and emphasized the importance of reproductive health and obstetrics within the family medicine specialty.
So great to have you, Dr. Escobar. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Dr. McDonald and Joanne. I appreciate the invitation.
So we did a little bit of an introduction, but can you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Thanks so much for that introduction. I was born and raised in New York. I went to college, medical school, and obtained my master's in public health here in New York. And although I left the state for residency and fellowship and to teach at a residency program, I am so excited to be home in New York, to be working on public health and on projects like the one we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, that's great. And I took with note you did your executive master's at Brown, which was interesting, of course, in Rhode Island, where I moved from here. So I'm, you know, from New York as well. So I'm thrilled to be back. And it's great to see you did your master's at Columbia. You know, you've done a lot. And, you know, early in your career, you've really accomplished a lot already, which is great. So let's dive into talking a little bit about what a standing order means regarding contraception. Or it's also called a non-patient-specific standing order. But what does this standing order apply to?
So a standing order in general allows members of the health team to complete clinical tasks, including allowing pharmacists to dispense medications without first obtaining a physician's order. They're carefully designed to reduce errors or adverse events. So this specific standing order applies to persons of reproductive age who are able to get pregnant, to obtain hormonal contraception in order to prevent pregnancy. The available methods that people will be able to obtain from the pharmacy will include pills, the patch, and the vaginal ring.
Can you tell us about the mini pill, and specifically, how does it differ from other oral contraceptives, and is it covered by insurance?
Regular contraceptive pills have a mix of estrogen and progestin in them. The mini pill contains only progestin, and these contraceptive options will absolutely be covered. The mini pill has two different formulations, and one formulation is coming over the counter called the O-pill.
I actually was just reading about that, the O-pill. And what other, if I understand correctly, there are two other forms of birth control covered by the standing order. So a hormonal patch and a vaginal ring.
That's correct.
And so how are these used and how do they prevent pregnancy?
So most people are familiar with the pills. Those are the most common forms. The patch is basically a sticker that is put on for a week and replaced every week for 3 weeks. And then the fourth week, no patch is put on. And then the cycle is started all over again. For the vaginal ring, a plastic ring or disc is inserted into the vagina, similar to a menstrual cup, and that is put in for 3 straight weeks. It is removed and left out for a week and then reinserted. Now, there are two forms of that vaginal ring. One where you get a brand new ring every 3 weeks. And then there's another that you have the same ring for an entire year that is taken out and washed and cleaned every 3 weeks and reinserted.
I want to talk a little bit about the standing order a little bit more detail. Like, these medicines aren't available over-the-counter, because over-the-counter means like Tylenol. You walk in the drugstore, the product's on the shelf, and you can go get whatever you want to buy. And, you know, Joanne just referred to the O-pill is over-the-counter, but that's not what this standing order covers. So this is different, right? So now these are the same prescription drugs you normally would have gotten from your doctor without a doctor's prescription. It's just that I, as the commissioner, am acting as the doctor, and I signed the standing order. So if you're a participating pharmacy, folks can do that. But what do people walking into a pharmacy have to do to access these forms of contraception?
There is a questionnaire that the Department of Health has created to ensure that these forms of contraception are safe. When you go seek contraceptive care at a provider's office, these are common questions that are going to be asked in a visit to make sure that these forms are correct for you. One of the most common things that we're looking for is, can you take estrogen? Estrogen can cause heart attacks and strokes and blood clots in certain individuals. So this questionnaire is getting at, are these safe for you? Do you have these risk factors? And so answering this questionnaire honestly will allow the pharmacist to make sure that these contraceptive pills work for you.
So, if you will, back in the day, you know, individuals received a prescription from a physician to gain access to contraceptives or birth control. So what about people who today still have a doctor's prescription? Does the standing order change anything for that individual?
It won't change anything for them, although it might make it easier for them. Let's say they realize that their prescription needs a refill on a weekend, so they don't have to hound their doctor and figure out how they're going to get this refill on a long weekend or when their doctor's on vacation. So they're able to go in, get a refill on their birth control, and have it be a little bit more hassle-free.
Yeah, and I guess that would apply to somebody who's visiting from out of state too, right?
Absolutely.
You know, you came into the city, you're in the state on vacation, and you forgot your birth control. You could walk into a participating pharmacy and get a prescription filled, right? That would work too, right?
It would absolutely work that way.
And I think if I understand it correctly, you can get up to a year's supply, assuming whether your insurance covers it or not, right?
If your insurance covers that, absolutely.
And my understanding is with the Affordable Care Act, insurance has to give it to you at no copay. Is that still true?
It is. However, not all formulations are covered all the time. Because oral contraceptive pills, the combination of estrogen and progesterone, there are so many ways that the estrogen and progesterone can be combined that not every single formulation is preferred by your pharmacy program through your insurance. But your pharmacist will be very helpful in being able to figure out which formulation is covered by your insurance.
And we did involve the Pharmacy Association when we did this, right? Like, didn't we have some of their help when we're putting this standing order together?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about who's going to benefit from this standing order, and why did we even do this? Like, what was that all about?
So access to hormonal contraception allows individuals to choose when and if they're going to have a child. And many organizations, including the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, support straight over-the-counter access to contraception, and access through a pharmacist, similar to our programs, are this intermediary while we get more forms of contraceptive over-the-counter, such as O-pill. O-pill is a first step, we hope, and more available options over-the-counter will hopefully be forthcoming.
So I want to go back to something that Dr. McDonald said just a moment ago, and that was about, you know, providing ease of access for the individual who may just be in New York visiting. Am I right to understand that the standing order applies to anyone, not only New York State residents?
Anyone that, who comes, and there is no age restriction either.
Yeah, so there is no age restriction. What was our thought process on that?
So adolescents should have access to the full spectrum of reproductive health care. And even in our Title X programs, adolescents can consent for their own care. If a person of reproductive age, who even if it is an adolescent, can fill out the questionnaire and understand the risks and can comprehend how to take that method, and the pharmacist thinks that all of those criteria are met, then that individual can be dispensed contraception.
So one of the things I often say is that I'm always proud to live in New York State, and there are a number of reasons behind that. But one of the reasons is because of the progressive thinking and the protections that we put into place for individuals. You know, as we're talking here today, I keep thinking about the fact that this is a major step forward as it relates to health equity and as it relates to women's reproductive rights, at a time when there are other jurisdictions and states that are doing perhaps the exact opposite. Do you know of any other states or jurisdictions around the country that are taking similar actions or have put standing orders in place?
According to the Guttmacher Institute, there are about 27 states, including the District of Columbia, that have a program like ours. Each state program is slightly different. Some require the person receiving birth control to have seen a reproductive health care provider within the past year. New York does not have that restriction. Other states only provide this for individuals over 18. We've talked about adolescents can still have access to our program. However, some states include the depot shot, which is a progestin-only injectable every 3 months. New York does not have that option at this time. We are certainly in alignment with the majority of other states who have this program available.
You know, you just remind me that not everybody has a doctor, by the way, or a place where they can get medical care for whatever reason. And of course, those are issues that are important too, but this could be a way they could access contraception where they normally couldn't. Is that your understanding as well?
There are many reasons, as you mentioned, why providers may not be accessible. And I also want to highlight that the New York State Family Planning Program is a way to access contraceptive care and also the full spectrum of reproductive health care within New York State. And we have a way on our website for individuals who are looking for those providers to be able to find that at free or low cost, depending on income.
You know, so it's going to take a while for pharmacies to onboard. You know, they have to do some training, and I think pharmacies will roll this out. How popular do you think this is going to be? I mean, any idea how many people are going to take advantage of this, or what percentage of pharmacies are going to participate?
So when we look at other states that do a program similar to ours, we look at Oregon, which is one of the states that have been doing this for a long time, and they estimate about 10% of their Medicaid population gets their birth control from a pharmacist directly. So that's not insignificant.
So I really appreciate this conversation as it relates to reproductive rights, as it relates to pregnancy prevention. But can we talk about, you know, for example, I want to make sure that our listeners know what this does and doesn't do. Do these contraceptives prevent sexually transmitted infections?
They do not. They only prevent pregnancy. And so wearing condoms is still very important to prevent sexually transmitted infections. And if you would like to be tested for sexually transmitted infections, going to a family planning center or to a provider to get tested for sexually transmitted infections would be very important.
Agreed. And, you know, I often say when we talk about contraception, it's not an either or, it can be an and. Looking at all the options available to us is really important.
Mel, we've been talking to Dr. Escobar, the New York State Department of Health today. It's been great. We talk about the why, and sometimes we talk about the what. Today, we talked about a non-patient-specific standing order for contraception in New York State that went into effect last month. Whether it's the pill, the patch, or the ring, you can go into a participating pharmacy and get a prescription filled for a contraceptive. And why we did it was to improve access to care, make it more convenient, and help people have children when it's their time frame. So that's really why we did all this. So it was great to have Dr. Escobar for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So that's going to do it for today's episode of New York Public Health Now podcast. As always, if there's a topic of interest you would like to hear us talk about, please let us know by email at publichealthnowpodcast@health.ny.gov. Keep an eye out for the latest New York Public Health Now episode on your favorite podcast player like Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Spotify, YouTube, and Google Podcasts. Search by our podcast title, New York Public Health Now, or the keyword NYSDOH. Then tap the subscribe or follow button to be notified when we release a new episode, which is about every other week. For New York Public Health Now podcast, I'm Dr. Jim McDonald.
And I'm Joanne Morin.
And I'm Dr. Shauna Escobar.
And thank you for listening.
New York Public Health Now is a production of New York State Department of Health's Public Affairs Group. Michael Wren is the executive producer and engineer, with additional production support provided by Sarah Snyder, Janine Babakian, Barbara Stubblebine, Alicia Biggs, Monica Pomeroy, and Kyle Kotary. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved. We welcome your feedback. Please email us at publichealthnowpodcast@health.ny.gov.